I'm glad you're all here tonight. As you can see, I'm going to be talking about another parable tonight, as I've been doing recently. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the parable of the prodigal son. It's a parable that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. And normally with these, I like to go through and read it ahead of time, but it is quite lengthy. So I'm just going to give a brief telling of it right quick and then break down verse by verse. So it's a parable, and this man has two sons. And the younger son comes to him and says that I want my inheritance. And so the father gives it to him, and this son gathers it all together, and he goes off to this far-off land. And there he spends it however he pleases, enjoying the pleasures of this life, until one day he is out. He doesn't have anything, and a famine comes across the land. And he goes and he works for a man feeding this man's pig. And it goes to the point where this man is in such want and is in such need that he wants to eat the same thing the pigs are eating. And he has this realization where, you know, my father's servants have food. And I'm going to go back to my father and ask to be one of his servants and ask for forgiveness. And so he goes back and the father accepts him back. And that's most of the parable. So I want to go ahead and start breaking it down. Luke 15:11-16 says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far-off country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So first, you know, like I said, this man has two sons. And I'm sure all of you know what an inheritance is. It's what a parent or person leaves behind to somebody after this person has passed on. Well, this son gets impatient. He says, I want my inheritance. I want it now. And so he comes and the father says, okay, I'll give it to you. And this son, instead of, you know, well, now I have all these goods, I'm going to go start off a life myself. I'm going to go to a far-off country. He didn't just go into the nearest city. No, he went far. To a far-off country to spend that inheritance. And then he did as he pleased, as it says. He went and wasted his substance with riotous living. He lived the life. He partied until he couldn't party anymore. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." If you remember what a parable is, it's a story that teaches us a lesson. And we see that he went far off, and just as we read that our sins, when we sin, it separates us from God. God, it's not that God can't reach us where we are. It's that we have chosen to go over here and not be a part of God's life. Just like the son chose to leave and go off and do what he as he willed. When we sin, that is our choice to leave our Heavenly Father, to leave God, and to go and live as we please with riotous living. Philippians 2:21 says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ." That's what the son was doing. He didn't, you know, look to others or, you know, look at his father's example. His father, you know, it seems that his father was a prosperous man. His servants had plenty to eat. He wasn't needy. And yet, this son wanted to go do what he wanted to do, just like we do. You know, that's what people say. I want to go have fun. I don't want to go to church. I want to go have fun. I want to go party. I want to go do what I want to do. Instead of, you know, following what God has laid out for us to do. And, you know, following his wishes, following his will. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's our tendency. We tend to not want to do what God has laid out for us. You know, because we see it as not fun or not cool, or we're afraid people will think bad of us because we don't want to do it. You know, if you notice in the story, he lived riotously, you know, a riot, big party. You think he did that all by himself? That he, you know, partied all alone? No, I'm sure he had plenty of people along with him. But where were they when he became in need? When he had want? You know, they'll be your friends as long as you have money and you're paying for the party, but as soon as you're in need or in want, they're gone. And that life that you lived along with is worthless. Luke 15:17-19 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" So we see the son has a moment. He has a realization. It says he came to himself. If you look at that, it's, you know, a realization. He woke up and realized what was going on wasn't right. He had a moment, an idea, a thought. He said, you know, my father's servants have, you know, plenty of food to eat. You know, he didn't go back expecting, oh, you know, dad's going to take me back as his son. He said, I'm going to go to my father. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask to be his servant. He realized that a change needed to be made. That what he was doing wasn't working, that it wasn't right. It says he realized that he had sinned against heaven before thee. He was going to go back and try and change that. We see plenty of examples of this all over the Bible. Acts 2:37, the day of Pentecost, says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" These men, the ones that had killed Jesus, they realized a change needed to be made. They realized that what they were doing wasn't right and that they needed to change. And they asked how to change that. We also see the jailer talking to Paul. It says, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm sure many of us as well, if you look back on your lives as a Christian, had a moment that you could probably single out to where you realized something needed to change. Maybe not when you were converted, but along the way, if you had an issue, there was a point where you realized, this isn't working, this isn't right. I need to fix this. I need to change this. We see the son did that as well. Luke 15:20-24 says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married." So we see that the son followed through with his choice and went back home. And we see that the father was looking out. He saw the son afar off. The son didn't come to the door and knock. The father saw him afar off and ran to him and kissed him. He was happy to see him. And, you know, the son came to him humbly and said, you know, I've messed up. Please let me at least just be your servant. And we see that the father had compassion. He said, you know, he said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, bring forth a ring, bring forth shoes, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. He was happy that his son was back, that his son had come back from wherever he had gone off to. John 3:16-17. Says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Just like this father loved his son, God loves us. when we mess up and we come back to him and say, you know, please forgive me, he's willing to forgive us because he sent his son to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. So we could have that second chance when we come back. Because as we read before, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to be that person that, you know, sins every once in a while. But God loves us enough that he gave us a way out of that, that we can be saved. Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Son didn't deserve to what he got from his Father, just like we don't deserve what we got from God. That Father had given him everything he had owed to him. He had given him his portion of the inheritance. He could have very well said, go. Or he could have taken the Son's offer and said, you know what, you can work as a servant. But no, he put that Son right back where he was. He loved him enough to do that. Just like we don't deserve what God has given us either. Not of anything that we deserve or have done, but God's mercy and his love is why he saved us. Luke 15, 25 through 32 says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came back and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called of one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost and found. So we see the older brother come back now, and, you know, we haven't heard anything about the older brother up until now except that he existed. And we say that he hears this merriment that they're making, this music, and he asks the servants, what's going on? And the servant explains to him, and the older brother throws a bit of a tantrum. We see he refuses to go in, and the father has to come out and talk to him and ask, and he says, you know, I've been loyal to you. I've stayed by your side. I haven't transgressed. And here your son has gone off with harlots and lived a riotous life and spent your living, has come back, and you've killed the fatted calf for him. Now, there are times where the older brother could be us. We have, you know, a brother or sister, or maybe a new convert come back or come into the fold, who, you know, they've done all these sins, and we kind of hold them at an arm's distance because we don't want to associate with somebody who's been like that, who's done that, you know, because we're good Christians. We don't want to, we've done what's right to God. We haven't gone off and, you know, done all those things. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We see that there's more joy in heaven over this one person who comes back, this one person who comes and is saved, versus 99 that are saved. That is the joy in heaven. That's the joy that we should have when a brother or sister comes into the fold. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Another parable. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he shall pay that debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came untold unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto thee, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Why should we forgive, you know, a brother that's been in sin in the world? Why should we forgive this erring brother who comes back and, you know, they've been out in the world, they've been sinful, we've been over here and doing good? Because at one point or another, every single one of us had that debt to God. And that debt that, you know, we owe to God is greater than anything that we could hold against our brothers or sisters because they were sinful, or maybe they did something wrong to us and we don't want to forgive them for that. We should accept them. We should be joyful that they are back, that they are here to serve God along with us. Because we have that debt to God. If anyone should be joyful, it's us who know what they have gained, what they went through. That they have made that change, made that decision to come back to the fold and to worship God. Now tonight, maybe you haven't accepted that gift and haven't, you know, had that debt paid off or had your sins forgiven. Or maybe you're along the way and you need to make a change tonight. And you need to follow God. We ask that there be, if one of either case, please come and sit on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.